Good morning. It's 11 minutes before the hour on this Thursday, the 29th day of December 2011. I'm Jeff Seifert for Raven News. During her regular report at Tuesday night's meeting of the Sitka Assembly, Mayor Cheryl Westover mentioned that plans to renovate Pacific High School will be voted on by the Assembly soon. The city owns Sitka school buildings, and their approval on projects is normal, but it usually doesn't happen this early in the process. Mayor Cheryl Westover said she hopes the early approval will help the school district.
If we approve it, they go ahead, but if we don't, they don't spend a lot of money on design, and then they'll have more money to do that. So, because it's a city building, and we do have to approve a design. But
Sitka School District Superintendent Steve Bradshaw said he and School Board President Lon Garrison met with Westover and Deputy Mayor Peter Squiro, and that he left the meeting under the impression there would be a work session.
To a vote without a work session is a surprise. It was a real surprise that it was even brought up last night. Like I say, we were under the impression that it wasn't going to be brought up, that we were going to have a work session. So it was a real surprise that it was even talked about last night after the meeting that we had had last week.
Westover brought up the idea of a work session, but assembly members noted that the work has been done and that all that's needed is an up or down vote. Some assembly members have concerns about the new design for Pacific High, a small alternative high school near the city's downtown area. The plans right now call for a flat roof that can be used by students for gardens or meeting spaces. The architect working on the plans noted at an earlier assembly meeting that drainage has been factored into the plan. The Pacific High remodel won funding support from voters in 2010. Two-thirds of the project will be funded by the state. Bradshaw says he understands there are new assembly members since that vote, but he also said on Wednesday afternoon that he's a little frustrated questions he thought were answered are coming back up again.
We've gone through this design process, and any one of the assembly members could have been at any one of the design meetings along the way and expressed their concerns. They chose not to do that. The design committee, which includes parents, students, teachers, administrators, board members liked the idea, the concept of making that roof a usable space for the students and for the community.
The item isn't set for any specific meeting at the moment, but Bradshaw says he's writing a letter to the mayor asking that if a vote is to be held, it be done so soon to give the district as much time as possible to adapt to any changes. If you tune in at the right time tonight, you'll see the P-Bar and other Sitka landmarks on national television. A new reality show called Hook, Line, and Sisters is set to premiere on the TLC network tonight at 8 p.m. Alaska time. It follows the Anderson family as they fish in Alaska. A large portion of the seven-episode series was filmed during the Sitka Sound Sacro herring fishery. Here's 26-year-old Sierra Anderson, who is one of the focal points of the show.
First of all, it's about a family working together to make a living, commercial salmon fishing. And then we also do Sitka herring in the spring. And then secondly, it's sort of about fishing from a female perspective. It's about my sister and I and kind of our journey through the fishing industry.
Anderson's 21-year-old sister Memory is the other half of the sisters mentioned in the title, Hook, Line, and Sisters. Sierra Anderson says the series came about after she made a pitch to the network.
Probably within a month, it went from pitch to green light meeting and you know, sold. So that was probably prompted more by the fact that fishing season was going to be starting and there's deadlines and it's kind of now or never.
There are a bunch of reality shows about Alaska, of course, everything from crab fishing to gold mining to Sarah Palin's adventures with her family. But Anderson, who has previewed all seven episodes to set to air this season, she says her show will be different.
Reality shows are reality shows and they're always going to focus in on the drama, but there's no soft script. You know, when it comes to this show in general, I mean, this is as raw and real as it gets.
The Anderson family includes Sierra's mother, Susan, and her father, Dean, who captains the family fishing boat, the Memory Ann. A news release from Discovery Communications, which owns the TLC network, calls Dean a grizzled sea dog, known for his aggressive fishing as much as his salmon hauls, and says Susan spends as much time refereeing familial feuds as managing the family's finances. Having camera crews aboard, especially during Sitka's rough-and-tumble commercial herring fishery, presented special obstacles, says Sierra Anderson.
I think that the person that affected the most was my dad, which wasn't always pretty. And, you know, anytime when you're on a fishing boat, you prize any kind of personal space. There is no personal space, but but you definitely have to, you know, respect the little bit of space that each person has. And you learn that about just having worked on commercial fishing boats. Everybody knows that. But when you bring on 4, 5, 6 extra bodies, all of a sudden you don't have any personal space and you have cameras in your face all the time.
Anderson says it was an adjustment for the first week or so, but that eventually she got used to it. Hook, Line, and Sisters premieres tonight at 8 p.m. Alaska time on Cable's TLC network. Two Alaska airports frequented by Sitka travelers are slated to receive full-body scanners next month. The Transportation Security Administration, or TSA, says the scanners no longer produce revealing images of travelers. Individuals uncomfortable with the scanners will be given an opportunity to instead submit to a pat-down by security screeners. Still, the further deployment of the scanners across Alaska is raising some protest. Deanna Garrison has this report.
TSA spokesperson Nico Melendez says the new advanced imaging technology, like what is being deployed in Alaska, does not produce the near-naked images that sparked a public backlash against full-body scanners.
The image of every passenger will be viewable at the security checkpoint, and it's one generic image for every passenger instead of the individual image for every passenger as it was in the past. And any anomaly that might be found on a person is highlighted in a little yellow box so our security officer can identify where it is and then find it on the person right there at the security checkpoint.
Melendez says TSA screeners are unable to print, save, or transmit the images produced by the full-body scanners. Once an individual steps inside the machine, Melendez says it typically takes less than 30 seconds for the scanner to generate an image. Just like with metal detectors, individuals will be asked to remove their shoes and any metal objects before going through screening. He says TSA will allow passengers to forego entering the full-body scanners if they so choose in favor of other security screening measures.
Passengers have an option. They are certainly allowed and permitted to opt out of going through these machines. However, if they do so, they will receive this pat-down at the security checkpoint. So it remains an option, and we just have to maintain security and provide the pat-down.
Melendez expects most passengers will opt to use the full-body scanners despite prior passenger privacy concerns.
Early on, overwhelmingly, I believe it was 97% of passengers preferred going through these machines than receiving the pat-down. And then we increased the level of deployment of these machines last year. And there were a few stories out there of people that were unhappy, but when you consider 1.8 million people are traveling a day, there were a few complaints and people who didn't like it, but I believe overwhelmingly, if you talk to passengers, they prefer the process where they're not touched by our security officers, but we're allowed and able to maintain security levels in finding the latest threat.
Melinda says TSA does not have any immediate plans to deploy full-body scanners in other Alaska airports. The decision to introduce the technology in Alaska has drawn criticism from a couple of Alaska legislators. Anchorage Representative Sharon Cisna issued a press release warning Alaskans that TSA is testing the full-body scanners in the state. She says the scanners operate by emitting potentially dangerous radiation. TSA says the full-body scanners are safe for all travelers and that the technology meets all known national and international health and safety standards. Anchorage Representative Chris Tuck posted a public service announcement on YouTube reminding travelers that they can opt out of the full-body scans. In an interview on Wednesday, Tuck questioned the need for the full-body scanners.
What has happened in Ketchikan in the past 10 years that now they're finally getting those body scanners? What's the security measures that's requiring that to happen? You know, the last 10 years, nothing has happened. I mean, we've had the shoe bomber and the underwear bomber, but that wasn't caught by TSA agents. That was caught by the public and by passengers. And so I think that we're spending way too much money on an ineffective security measures.
Ketchikan Airport Manager Mike Carney says there may be some passengers who are concerned about the new technology, but he expects the vast majority of travelers will willingly adapt to the new scanners.
We don't expect any complaints. I mean, these are generic images that they show on the scanners. You're going to have people that are concerned with stepping into something that might give them some what they see as radiation or something. You can never guess what the complaints will be, but I don't see an overall objection.
As of October, there were approximately 500 full-body scanners at 78 airports nationwide. In Ketchikan, I'm Deanna Garrison.
In other news, federal aviation authorities have signed off on a plan to let a World War II-era plane take part in a celebration in Sitka. The only problem is the event was held 2 months ago. Officials got word Tuesday that the Federal Aviation Administration approved a permit to let a twin-engine amphibian aircraft fly from Washington State for the Alaska Day celebration. The five-day celebration concluded October 18th. The permit allowing the plane to fly for air shows and other events is good through December 13, 2013, but the director of the Sitka Historical Society says they don't have any plans in the works for any event. And a Russian tanker is headed toward Alaska in a mission to deliver fuel to Nome. Mark Smith, CEO of Vitus Marine, said Wednesday that the tanker is making more than 250 miles a day and was reported to be 545 miles south-southwest of Attu in the Aleutian Islands. The tanker left Russia and was loaded with more than 1 million gallons of diesel fuel in South Korea. The plan is to have it pick up 400,000 gallons of gasoline in Dutch Harbor and then head to Nome. The Coast Guard cutter Healy is on hand to break ice. If everything goes as planned, the tanker could arrive in Nome by the second week in January. Police have arrested a Juneau man suspected of breaking into homes. Police on Tuesday identified the man as 29-year-old Joseph A. Allen. He's facing burglary and theft charges and is being held at the Lemon Creek Correctional Center. Spokeswoman Cindy Brown Mills told the Juneau Empire that at about noon on Monday, that is, a 31-year-old woman reporting a man armed with a rifle came into her house. She said she was pushed to the floor and the man pointed the gun at her.